Lesson number one, principle number one. Nothing is more important than our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Now, I do a lot of very important things. Lots of them. Lots of them. I love doing important things. Watching good ball game, going on vacation, being with my friends, trying to love my family, and on and on. We do lots of important things. All of us. But friend, listen to me. There is nothing more important in this world than your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton as we dive into the book of Hebrews. In just a moment, we'll head to Hebrews chapter 11 as Dr. Wilton gives us a message on the saved dead. We'll gain some insight on that in just a moment, but Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here for you. We're connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org, or also this phone number. It'll connect you with us 24 hours a day. We'd love to speak with you, listen, pray, connect you with great resources at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 899-9673. We would love to pray with you and for you and connect you to those resources. Now let's open our hearts and God's Word together for this edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton and his message on the saved dead.
I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews and chapter 11. Now, just for the sake of those of you that are listening perhaps and worshiping with us for the first time, Hebrews chapter 11, and many people call this the Hall of Faith. If you were to go to Canton, Ohio, and I'm sure we'll be somewhere around Canton in the next couple of days, you'll find the Football Hall of Fame. I've been there. In years gone by, and you'll find a whole group of men who excelled in football. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, God chose to give us a list and an explanation of a lot of people in the Old Testament who just were people who excelled in their faith. And I've called this series The Faithful Dead. And it's been a remarkable study for me personally. And we've tried to discover here from verse 1 of chapter 11 what it is that God is trying to teach us. And we've looked at the lives of Abraham and Moses, and even a week ago in verse 31, Rahab. And what a remarkable lady, a lady of the street and a lady of the night, and yet God came upon her life and used her in a wonderful way. There's just a little problem, because we get down to verse 32. I want you to note verse 32 with me in Hebrews chapter 11, because verse 32 begins with a rather somewhat remarkable kind of loose-ended statement. God says this. He says, "And what more shall I say?" By the way, I tried to discover and go back and study a little more. What does that mean? And what more should I say? And I came to the conclusion that actually what it means is simply, etc. Or if you are a real Englishman, you would just simply respond by saying, and so on, and so on. In other words, when you and I enter into a conversation, you've got a lot to say. And evidently, God, looking down upon His creation, once again understood that we are limited by our human disposition somewhat. And God looked upon us and decided that we were rendered incapable of being able to read and study the never-ending lists of people that had found favor in the eyes of God. So what we have in Hebrews chapter 11 are just really a few examples of what God would have us to know about. And once we get down to chapter 11 and verse 32, God says, "And what more shall I say?" Let's read about it. He said, "I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." There it is again, etc., and so on. So here's what he tells us about them. He puts them all together, and this is what he said. These are the people who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. These are the ones who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies and armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. In fact, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. And love verse 39. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. For God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us, they would be made perfect. Now watch me just for a second. Everybody watch me. Here's the people of the Old Testament. Here we are. How do the people of the Old Testament get to heaven? How do we get to heaven? It's right here in the center. It's the cross. And what we're about to discover as we study the saved dead, because God is telling us that throughout the ages, that God has been at work because He is a sovereign God. God has been at work from before the foundation of the world, something that we struggle somewhat to understand, because who can know the mind of God? And what God is about to impress us with is that these of years gone by prior to the death of Jesus Christ are saved because of what Jesus was to do. And we, those of us who after the crucifixion, we are saved not because of what Jesus is or was about to do, but because of what Jesus Christ has already done. That's why the letter to the Hebrews is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's an interesting thing here. Because what God does is He takes these people, these men of old, and He compiles, as it were, a common set of characteristics. And He brings us to a point about them. And I'm convinced in my heart that what God is doing is He is writing for us somewhat of a character description of what it means to be a man, to be a woman of faith. Well, let's try to discover some of these things. What are some of the common characteristics of these Old Testament prophets that were too numerous to number? Number one, they were many. Verse 32 tells us. We've discussed that. They were many. Kind of makes me think of today. I think of something, this beautiful arrangement of flowers here that somebody in our congregation placed in honor of their husband. And I think when I've been to the front of France and to the beaches, to that area there, when I read about it in newspapers, I can't even begin to imagine the countless numbers of people who sacrificed the way they did. Can you? Can't imagine that. The picture that I have in my mind, being a post-war child, is of movies that I've seen. I can't imagine the sacrifice, the numbers of people. I cannot imagine the numbers of people just from this church alone who are already in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that we could parade in front of us here today who are born again of the Spirit of God and today are in His presence. I can't imagine that. Husbands and wives and sons and daughters. Well, that's what God is doing here as He's speaking to this predominantly Jewish audience, talking to those who are not convinced that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, those who are still bound by their religiosity and their traditions. He's talking to those who had recently become converts, those who are being persecuted, those who were grappling with the fact that Jesus Christ made a statement and said, I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. They were grappling with this. And they understood the language of the prophets. And God points them to this group of et ceteras. And he says, and so on. There were many of them. Number two, they were conquerors. I love that in verse 33. The Bible says it was because of their faith that they conquered kingdoms. In this series, some weeks or months ago, I remember not, I preached a message entitled The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Overcomers. And we determined and came to the conclusion that when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, that you are empowered from on high, that God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He becomes the captain of our ship, the commander of our regiment. He's the one who flies the flag. And Paul put it like this. He said, nay, we are more than conquerors in him. We are overcomers. Bible takes us, God takes us all the way back to these prophets like Gideon and Samson. And he tells us these people, by virtue of their faith, they were conquerors. Number three, they were rulers. Right there in verse 33, the Bible says they administered justice. You can go back into the Old Testament and read time without number how that kings and queens, great rulers, summoned always to their feet the great men and women of God and consulted with them and wanted to know from them what it was that they ought to do. It makes for fine reading, and it reminds us just exactly how powerful it is to be somebody indwelt by the power and the presence of the Spirit of the living God. Yes, we are Christians, and we march according to a different drum beat. Where does this come from? God tells us that those who are men and women of faith are not only many, but they are conquerors. They are not only conquerors, but they are rulers. They are the ones that God calls upon to administer justice. Number four, they were receivers. I love this part in verse 33. The Bible tells us that these are the men and women who gained what was promised. When God comes into my heart and life in Jesus Christ, I become a recipient of all the outpouring of the dispensation of the grace of a God who defies my very human logic and my thought. What did these people receive? Some of them were rescued from the jaws of death, according to the scriptures. Some of them escaped from the edge of the sword. Some of them found strength that they never knew they had. Some won great victories. Some saw their dead raised to life. What is this all about? God said he commended them for their faith, because when they exercised their faith, they received all that God had in store for them.
Forgive the interruption, but wow, what a powerful phrase. Have we received all that God has in store for us? Have you received all that God has in store for you? You know, as we pause for just a moment, we'll be back with more of Dr. Don Wilton's Bible-based preaching in just a moment. He insists, though, we remind you that we're available to talk with you, to pray with you, to maybe answer some questions or connect you with resources. We do this online at theencouragingword.org and on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I know in this day and age of texting and typing, sometimes you go, I'm not sure I want to. Trust me, you will find a person who is literally committed and called to pray with you, pray for you, and to encourage you. That's why we are The Encouraging Word. The phone number again is 866-899-9673. I pray you jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673, or meet us keyboard to keyboard online at theencouragingword.org. As a matter of fact, right now, one of the resources that's being used by many of you to love on, encourage, and challenge your friends are the Encouraging Word prayer cards. You can take a look online at theencouragingword.org/store, a wonderful investment in the lives of those around you to help encourage them and draw them closer to Christ, to help them empower their lives with the power of prayer. prayer. Again, it's all there at theencouragingword.org/store. Now back to today's message, The Saved Dead, with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, many times I find myself as a believer saying, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? What can I do for you, God? And I should say that. I need to give him everything. But folks, let me tell you, it is quite legitimate. At the same time as we say, Lord, what can I do for you? It is quite legitimate to say to God, oh God, what can you do for me? When you and I as believers come to understand what God does for us, friend, what God does for us is determined by who he is. We're dealing with God. And what God does for us far outweighs anything that you and I can do for God. We do what we do for God because of what God has done for us, not the other way around. Number five, they were sufferers. I beg your pardon for including this, but the Bible does. I've heard people from time to time say, give your heart to Jesus and you'll never suffer again. Paul didn't think so. Led to Timothy, he said, listen, you want to be overwhelmed by the power of God. You want to be delivered from a spirit of timidity. You need to be willing to become fused with the suffering of Jesus Christ. You got to be fully identified with it. When Ed was baptized here this morning, symbolically, he was standing there in the waters of baptism, say, I am fully and publicly and unashamedly identified with the death, then the burial in the grave, and then the mighty, powerful resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a complete fusing and identification with all that Jesus Christ has done for us. They were sufferers. Some were tortured. Some were flogged. Some were imprisoned. Some were executed. Some were destitute. Some were homeless. But friend, if that is the fifth characteristic, that they were sufferers, number six is unbelievable. They were all commended for their faith. They were all commended for their faith. Now, I like to be commended, you know. I've always liked to be commended. We all like to get a jolly good old pat on the back, you know what? Thank you. Well done, old chap. You did mighty fine. Well done. We love that. I love that. I love to be commended. I mean, old Eddie Robertson, he comes up to me and just commends me all the time. Eddie keeps telling me that I'm the absolute finest, best person he's ever been around, that he feels so privileged to serve with me here at this church, that I'm just a remarkable. I love that. Eddie needs to just keep it up. Give me a little more of that. I love that, especially coming from Eddie. I love it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When my wife and my two sons and my daughter commend me, there's nothing more precious than that. When my wife says to me, well done. You know, I've met people over the years that have told me, I heard one man say to me, you know, Pastor, I never ever heard my daddy tell me that he loved me. Oh, he bought me a bicycle, but I never heard my daddy ever tell me that he loved me. What God is saying here, folks, is this, that when you become a person of faith, God tells you about his love for you. God puts his hand on your shoulder and says, well done. God does it. There's no greater commendation. And number seven, they were all included in God's eternal plan. I've had people, myself included, by the way, that have wondered how these Old Testament prophets got to heaven. Well, the question is settled once and for all. Bible tells us, and it's explained for us right there in verse 40, one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture.
Lesson number one.
What does it mean?
Principle number
one. Let me share with you four.
Nothing.
Great
is more important
than our faith.
Lessons that come from
in the Lord Jesus Christ.
One.
Nothing. Now I do a lot of very important things. Lots of them. Lots of them. I love doing important things. Watching good ball game, going on vacation, being with my friends,
trying to love my family, and on and on. We do lots of important things, all of us. But friend, listen to me. There is nothing more important in this world than your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a parent today, what is the most important thing as far as you're concerned in bringing up your children? Is it absolutely the most important thing that they become Miss World, or that they make the squad, or that they play the ball game, or that they get straight A's at school? These things all have their place, and they're important. But what is the most important thing? Most important thing is our faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only means by which we gain God's commendation. If God has not commended you, you do not go to heaven, folks. God doesn't sort of do it. You don't kind of sort of maybe if all factors considered, according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, you might arrive in heaven. You either is or you ain't. And I'm going to tell you the is based squarely on the commendation of God. And the only means by which you can be commended by God is by expressing your faith and trust in all that God has done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Principle number two, life circumstances, whether good or bad, can never erase God's plan for us. I want you to listen to this. Here we've got this unbelievable list of people that number more than we could ever imagine, the et ceteras, the and so ons. These countless scores, many of them nameless faces, just blank spots, unknown to us, but known to the heart of a wonderful God. The Bible tells us that life circumstances, good or bad, can never erase God's plan for us. Now, friend, listen carefully today. I don't know what it is that's going on in your heart. It may be very good. It may be very bad. But this one thing we do know, whether you're being tortured for Christ or whether you've been rewarded by Christ, God's plan can never be erased. God is on His throne. God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Principle number three, Jesus Christ is God's superior plan. Jesus Christ is God's superior plan, which is why, and I put this in quotes because it comes right out of the text, only together with us would they be made perfect. I wish I had time to do an exegesis, that little word perfect there. Because all of us here ought to say, well, we could never become perfect. You're absolutely right. So from whence comes my perfection? It comes from being in Christ. I am in Christ. That's what Paul said. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am in Christ Jesus. And He is God's superior plan. And He is the reason why only together with all of us who are in Christ can they, prior to the death of Christ, be made one with Christ. Principle number four. Number four, Jesus Christ is God's plan for all people. I want to submit to you today that Jesus Christ is God's plan for all people. You take Him out of your constitution, you have nothing. You cannot gain God's commendation. What does it mean? It means that their salvation was based on what Christ would do. And our salvation is based upon Christ, what Christ has done. That's the bottom line. That's why He's superior. How about you today?
There's no doubt about it. Jesus is the plan. But if you don't receive the plan, it's like a gift that sits on the kitchen table and you never open it. This gift has been created for you to receive God's plan. We would love to speak with you, pray with you, get you connected with resources that will help you grow in the next step of your faith. We can do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org, or on the phone as well at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But before we go any further, let's take a moment for a closing thought from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news. And by the way, don't go away, because I'll be right back in just a minute.
If the Lord has spoken to you, won't you make that call? 866-899-9673. Not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. 866-899-9673. We're there first and foremost to pray with you, to pray for you. But we're also there to connect with great resources like this.
Across America, there are different views on when life begins and when it should end. What do you believe? What does the Bible say? When does life really begin? Join Dr. Wilton as he teaches biblical truths with compassion straight from God's Word in his classic and timely message, The Sanctity of Human Life. Plus, you will receive two bonus gifts, Why Pro-Life and Counterculture in a World of Abortion. These powerful ministry resources will help equip you with the facts to see life through the lens of God's Word. Request The Sanctity of Human Life, a classic and timely message on CD, and the bonus gifts for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support as we continue to proclaim God's truth around the world.
You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people coming to know Christ through this broadcast ministry. Every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
That wraps up the Tuesday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Tomorrow, a unique message, two words, let's roll. You'll hear about that, and I pray you'll join us at this same time tomorrow for the message from Dr. Don Wilton. Between now and then, just know that we're available for you both online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org, or the phone number 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And I want to say thank you, for many of you have joined the support team of The Encouraging Word by becoming encouragers. Discover more online at theencouragingword.org. That simple gift of about a dollar a day is changing the lives of people every single day across the world. More details online at theencouragingword.org. And thank you for your encouragement to us.